Gentlemen and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, we are live from Third and Home. Tonight, the Nashville Sounds taking on the Indianapolis Indians. That game at, I believe, 7 o'clock. I'm going to the game tonight, so I'm pretty excited about
that. It'll be a blast.
It should be fun tonight.
There's fireworks after the game tonight.
Maybe not staying for the fireworks.
Okay, that's okay.
But I think if I had like an 8-year-old, we'd be staying for the fireworks.
Fair.
So that's, I think, kind of how that normally works. The thing about Sounds games, and it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis will be with us in a little bit. The thing about Sounds games is they literally have something for everybody. So if you're like a baseball fan, like, you can literally sit there and watch the baseball. If you are like a young person, like, you know, 21 to 35 something, they've got like essentially a nightclub in right field. They've got the berm in left field. They've got the kids' activities, you know, where you can see how fast you can throw a ball and things like that for all the little kids, and then fireworks and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, the Sounds, man, they do it perfectly out here at First Horizon Park, and I'm glad that we're partners with the Sounds again. So I'm going to get to this, which is, we talked about this a little bit the other day. Jeff Saturday was on the Midday Show, and he was talking about the fact that in Indianapolis, the way that it worked for them to be so successful offensively was, quite frankly, that they distributed the ball really, really well. And everybody was selfless about it. So I went back and looked at that Super Bowl championship team in Indianapolis with Peyton. And if you went by total touches, Marvin Harrison, 12%, Reggie Wayne, 11%, Joseph Addai, 33%, Dominic Rhodes, 29%, and then everybody else was kind of in that, you know, 3-4% range. If you go back to the greatest show on turf, Rams, Marshall Faulk, 44% of total touches. That makes sense, right? You know, with Marshall Faulk and the fact that he was a great runner and a great receiver, you know, Marshall Faulk, 44%. Not as much as Derrick Henry last year, but then Robert Holcomb, the backup running back, 11.8, who, by the way, was a good Titan. Robert Holcomb, 11.8, so they were 55.8% of the offense. Isaac Bruce, 10.5%. Torrey Holt, 7%. Justin Watson, who I've never heard of, 6%. And Oz Hakeem, 5%. Last year's Titans, Henry at 47.4. Brown at 8.3. So Brown is a little bit lower than Isaac Bruce on the greatest show on turf, Rams, and below Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne on the Colts. Corey Davis, 7.7. Jeremy McNichols, the backup running back, 7%. Tannehill, 5.2. Jonnu Smith, 5.1. Anthony Firkser, 4.6. So let's put other as a category here, and let's assign other 4% of the Titans' touches next season. So now you're looking at 96%, and I don't love doing math on the air, but Henry, Brown, Jones, Josh Reynolds, Firkser, Darrington Evans, Jeff Swain. What percentage would you like to see as far as Titans' touches are concerned?
What did we say Derrick Henry had last season? Something like 50?
47.4.
47.4%.
Henry, McNichols, and Tannehill were combined 59.6, which was still below Joseph Addai and Dominic Rhodes, 62% of the 2006 Colts offense.
I don't want to see Derrick Henry get the ball that much, and it's not because I don't think that he is a fantastic running back, because he's one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the league for a reason. But I think in order for this offense, this team to be successful, the wealth needs to be shared. So I want to see around a 30 to 35%.
You got to give me a percent.
For Derrick Henry.
You can't give me 30 to 35%. You got to give me a percent.
Give me 35.
Okay, 35% for Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. So now you're saying Derrick Henry should touch the ball as much as Joseph Addai touched the ball in the 2006 Colts.
Yes.
Even though Joseph Addai was a far cry from best running back in the league.
Are you saying that it should be more?
Well, if Marshall Faulk is 44%, I'm thinking you would probably, and Derek was 47 last year, I'm thinking you'd probably want Derek in the 45 range.
I just think that's so high.
But it's not too high for Marshall Faulk?
What would you assign Derrick Henry?
Well, if we had Marshall Faulk on one hand and Joseph Addai on the other hand, which...
I'm going with Marshall Faulk.
Well, which one would you say Derrick's closer to?
Marshall Faulk.
Okay. That's just me. But this is... We'll use your chart. 35% for Derrick. Okay. What about A.J. Brown? 8.3 last year. again, by comparison, Marvin Harrison, 12%, Reggie Wayne, 11%, Isaac Bruce, 10.5%, Torrey Holt, 7%.
Give me 10 for A.J. Brown.
Okay, 10% for A.J. Brown. So now we're at what? That's 45 plus 4, so now you're at 49%. So now you have 51% for Julio Jones, Josh Reynolds, Anthony Firkser, Darrington Evans, Jeff Swain.
Give me 15% for Julio Jones.
Now, that's a hot take. Julio was 10.4% of the touches with 83 catches and 1,400-plus yards in Atlanta in 2016. So you're saying that you want Julio to have more touches than he had on that Falcons team and more than Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Isaac Bruce all had in some of their best seasons, and all three of those guys will one day be in the Hall of Fame. Two of them already are.
I think my thought process behind that was I wanted to see Julio get more touches than A.J. Brown.
And what did you say, 15% for Julio?
Yeah.
That is a lot.
That's high.
That's nuts.
Maybe it's more like 12.
That is literally throwing the ball to Julio like on every third down at that point. I mean, like literally every – because, I mean, I'm sure Isaac Bruce got targeted a lot.
A lot.
That year with the Rams. And I know Marvin Harrison – 12% got targeted a lot. Okay, Josh Reynolds. So now you're 51 minus 15. I should just do a running tally right here as we go along. But continue. Josh Reynolds.
Like five or six. Like not high. Like I would love to see Josh Reynolds contribute to this offense, but I'm not going to target him.
Okay, five or six. Which one?
Five.
Okay, 5%
for Josh
Reynolds.
Like a nice, solid number.
So now you're telling me that Josh Reynolds should get less touches or less percentage of the touches than Justin Watson got on the 99 Greatest Show on Turf Rams.
How many did he have?
He had 6%.
6%, okay.
Jonnu Smith had 5.1%. Anthony Firkser had 4.6%.
I feel confident in that 5% for Josh Reynolds.
Okay, Firkser.
5.
Okay, so he's at 5% too. So now you're down to 31%. Between Darrington Evans and Jeff Swaim.
Oh, boy. All right, maybe I got to bump Derrick Henry up a little bit.
See what I'm saying?
I don't feel confident giving 30% between Darrington Evans and Jeff Swaim.
So if things go to plan with Darrington Evans, Evans should be the second highest total guy on this list. Because, again, Manning's Colts, Joseph Addai, 33%, mm-hmm. Dominic Rhodes, 29%, Marshall Faulk, 44%, Robert Holcomb, 11.8%, and then the dual threat running back of Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman in Atlanta, where Julio was 10.4%, that was 54% of all touches. So, I mean, again, every single one of these, the bare minimum is 55%. You've got Derrick Henry at 35%, so Darrington Evans has got to be somewhere in the 20-plus percent range.
Absolutely not. Let's bump Derrick Henry up to 45. I know I said that was high earlier, but whenever you're looking at the grand scheme of this offense.
Okay.
So I have 20% left. So don't feel great about that.
So you're taking 10 away. You have 21%. You've got Evans and Swain.
All right, give me – well, I mean, 15% of the touches for A.J. Brown is a lot.
You gave 10% to A.J. Brown.
I know, but I'm saying if I'm bumping up someone else with percentage of touches, because I don't want to split my remaining 21% between Darrington Evans and Jeff Swaim. I'm looking between, like, 3 and 5% for both of them.
Why? You can't do 3% for Evans if you want him to be your backup running back. Jeremy McNichols, a street free agent, was 7% of the offense last year. Like, and Tannehill as the quarterback was 5.2. I mean, you run the ball more than you catch the ball just because it's easier to turn around and hand the ball to somebody than it is to throw it, catch it, gain yards kind of thing.
So give me 10.
10 for Darrington Evans. Okay.
So it leaves me with 11%.
You got 11%.
All right.
And you've only got Jeff Swaim on the list.
So let's bump up Josh Reynolds to 7.
Okay. So now you're down to 9.
Let's bump up Firkser to 6.
Okay, so now you're down to 8. You still have A.J. Brown beneath Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and Isaac Bruce.
Give me 12 for A.J. Brown.
Okay, up 2. Now I've lost count of how much that leaves you with. I think 6.
So all right, so 6. 12.
So you're going to give Jeff Swaim 6%?
6%.
Okay. the backup tight end at 6% of the total touches. So you're giving Jeff Swaim more of a percent of the offense this season than the Titans gave Jonnu Smith last season.
That's the way the math works out.
That is a take. I think you're going to have to give Darrington Evans more.
Like 12% Darrington Evans, 4% Swaim.
Okay. Say that again?
12% Darrington Evans, 4% Jeff Swaim.
And then down 4% for Swaim. So here you go. Henry, 45. Brown, 12. Julio Jones, 15. Josh Reynolds, 7. Anthony Firkser, 6. Darrington Evans, 12. Jeff Swaim, 4. And other at 4%. And you feel comfortable with that?
I could knock up Darrington Evans a little bit more and knock Jeff Swaim a little down a little bit more, but at that where I am right now, yeah, I'm fine with that.
We'll play with these numbers in a little bit. Corey Curtis, News 2, he will join us next. His reaction to the fallout from the Julio trade, where the ball's going, how much he believes in this Titans team. That's next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, we are live from 3rd and Home tonight. The Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians. And by the way, good luck to the Vols tomorrow in baseball. Good luck to Vandy. They're one win away. Jack Leiter going to get the ball going up against East Carolina. They won game one. Excellent performance by Kamar Rocker. Corey Curtis joins us now, News 2. Corey has been all over Julio Jones to the Titans. I'm sure it was eventful on Sunday on News 2 when you guys found out that Julio was going to be a Titan. Corey, I've talked a lot about this, so I'm going to ask you this basic question. What are your expectations for the 2021 Tennessee Titans now that they've acquired Julio Jones?
Well, expectations, what team needs to accomplish this year. Bottom line, they've got to win.
I think I lost Corey there on that one. We'll give Corey a buzz back on this one. But I will say this. I do wonder what he said they got to win, but I wonder what he was saying they got to win.
What, do they have to win?
Yeah, he said they got to win, but I didn't know what he was going to say as the finish of what they got to win. They got to win something good.
Something.
Do you think he said they got to win the division? Do you think he said they got to win...
They
the
have
playoffs?
To win. They have to win the division.
Do you think he said
that's my absolute positive minimum?
I mean, the fans. We ran a poll the other day, and the again, not overwhelming favorite in the clubhouse, but the poll said that the fans, at least the fans that I talk to, or the fans that follow me on Twitter, they say Super Bowl. What's your expectation for the Titans? 36% say Super Bowl, 28% say AFC Championship game, 30% says playoffs, then see. Corey Curtis, News 2, is back with us. So, Corey, you said they got to win. What do they have to win with your expectation now?
They got to win the AFC South, number one. They got to get home playoff games, and they got to win at least one playoff game. That's where it starts for me. You know, beyond that, it's going to depend on matchup and who they're playing. Because you're playing Kansas City in round two. You could play well and lose. I mean, that's just reality. So I'm not going to go and be heavy-handed. I think saying Super Bowl or bust is a lot. Unless you've got Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady, I think it's a lot. I think it's okay to have high expectations, though, and I think you should have high expectations because. Whether John Robinson wants to answer a question about expectations or not, they push their chips all on the table.
Do you think that the defense is going to be good enough? I mean, everyone talks about explosive offense and Tannehill, Brown, Henry, Jones. When I watch teams win the Super Bowl, I watched Tampa Bay's defense last year.
Yeah.
Do you think this defense – we've seen some good teams. Indianapolis in 2006 won the Super Bowl with the 23rd-ranked defense. Do you think that this defense will be serviceable enough for them to compete with the big boys?
Well, that's the big question because, you know, you look at that Tampa defense, and again, this is why we talked about the addition of Brady was going to be so big for them because they had a Super Bowl roster already. I mean, look at the players on that defense. Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, Devin White. I mean, they were loaded with players all over the place, and they got after Pat Mahomes. And, you know, as good as Brady was and Leonard Fournette was that day, they won that day because of their defense. That's what they did. They need a defense that's going to give them a chance to win against Kansas City. That's where it starts. So they're not going to be that good. They're not going to be Tampa's defense. But we talked about it last year. If they just had an average defense, how many more games and how much better they would have been. Look, Bud Dupree's got to be Bud Dupree. Harold Landry has got to take it up a notch. Kevin Byard has to return to form. I think Jeffrey Simmons has to take it up a notch. He has to be a dominant player more often for this football team. Jayon Brown has to stay healthy. And the big mystery, you know, there's a lot of hopes and ifs in this defense, you know, because we don't know what Christian Fulton is. We don't know if Caleb Farley is going to be healthy. Shoot, we don't know if Elijah Molden is going to be healthy at this point because none of us have seen him yet at this point. So there's a lot of ifs. There's a lot of hopes. And Shane Bowen has to take it up a notch. I mean, the defense is a mega mystery, and it has to be better for them to be better. I guess bottom line, I have a hard time believing it can be worse, okay? Because as Kevin Byard said, they were historically bad on third down last year. And I think they had some poison pills in there with Clowney out and with Beasley phoning in the season. So I think that they'll have better chemistry. I think with Shane Bowen actually being the defensive coordinator, you hope they have a better command structure where players know who to talk to and know whose instructions to follow, and you don't hear words like communication come up each and every week. Hopefully they've fixed some of those things. So I have hopes that it can be better, but I don't have hopes that it's going to be anything like Tampa Bay. But I don't think it has to be, because I think they can score a ton of points.
Corey, do you think Tannehill's good enough to pull this off? And I mean that in this sense that now the Titans, there is a real threat now that, hey, Baltimore, you take Derrick Henry out of a playoff game, Julio Jones and A.J. Brown might light you up. And yet Tannehill in his career with the Titans has thrown for over 300 yards only six times, and only once was it against a top 10 defense, and only once was it against a playoff team. They didn't even win that game. So I wonder, like, if you get in a playoff game and Kansas City takes away your number one option, can you look at Patrick Mahomes on the other sideline and say, okay, 17, go out there and go out, shoot him?
Well, I'll take it a step further. How many playoff games has Tannehill won with the Titans?
Two.
Two? How many times did he throw for over 100 yards in those playoff games?
Zero.
Zero, okay. So he has not carried them to victory. And that's the big question, like you're talking about. Teams know it starts with 22. Regardless of 11 and 2 now, it starts with 22. And they know that's what they've got to stop first. You deal with the rest of it later. And they have to show that if a team slows him down, that he's got to win the game. And I know people don't think it's fair to question Tannehill. Look, he's been great in the regular season. And you know what? I'm the first to say he has been great. He has been an upgrade. You know, he has, you know, helped, you know, A.J. Brown blossom into this player, helped Jonnu Smith make a gabillion dollars. He has been a very good player. But legacies are built in the postseason, okay? And he has not shown it in the postseason yet. Doesn't mean I think he's a bad quarterback. Doesn't mean I don't think he can do it. But he hasn't done it. And until he does it, I think it's a fair question. I guess you're asking me, do I think he can do it? Yes, I do, but I think he needs that game that gets him over the hump.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I went and pulled it up, and I think he's averaging 150 yards in the playoffs, Tannehill is, and Joe Flacco and Nick Foles in their playoff runs were in the high 200s. I mean, I just have Eli Manning's numbers in front of me for his run where they had to beat Atlanta and Michael Vick. They had to beat I don't think it was Michael Vick. I think it was Matt Ryan. Atlanta and Matt Ryan. They had to beat Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, San Francisco and Alex Smith, and then Brady and the Patriots. Eli, 277, three touchdowns, 333 touchdowns, 316, two touchdowns, 296, one touchdown. I love Tannehill. I don't know if he can do it. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm saying I don't know if he can do it.
Well, he's going to have to show it. I mean, you know, we always say respect is earned, right? Well, I mean, he's played four playoff games for this team. And, yes, he made some throws in the wins, But when you threw for less than 100 yards, you're not the guy who led them to victory. And, you know, he needs to be the guy. You know, there needs to be a playoff game where Derek doesn't just dominate play and the Titans win. He has to do it. You know, to answer that question fully, he has to be the guy who says, all right, they've sold out for 22. Guys, I got you. Let's go do this. Because he hasn't been able to do it. And that may not be fair. Then I'm not fair. But they couldn't put up 21 points against Baltimore. And in the second half, when they got behind at Kansas City, I don't think they scored a point. So, you know, that's got to be better. And you know, that's why I say it's a nice question to have because it means your expectations are to be in the postseason. But that's what legacies are built and made. I mean, what do we still talk about with Steve McNair? You know, they lost, but we still talk about that final drive against the Rams in the Super Bowl and how unbelievable he was. Because that's when legacies are built. And for Tannehill to take the next step in trying to build his legacy, he's going to have to win a playoff game. He's going to have to shoulder the load, and he's going to have to prove he can do it.
Sure. I mean, this goes back to Eli Manning, Corey. Like,
yeah.
Eli Manning's
average
going to the Super Bowl because twice he did that.
Yeah. I mean, look, to me, Eli Manning was very average most of his career.
Yep.
But in the postseason, when the lights came on, he absolutely delivered. And to me, I know there are some people who love Joe Flacco. I have loathed Joe Flacco. But for that run, he was on fire, and he lit it up. And he made a whole career of that one season. That's it. I mean, he did it because he won that game. You know, he put up those numbers. And you have to be able to do it at some point. It's week 9.
Mm-hmm. Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, one thing I can't get over, Jeff Saturday was on the midday show yesterday, and he was asked about how big of an impact Julio was. And Jeff Saturday said, you know, if they had brought Corey Davis back, I still would have had him below the Colts. But with the addition of Julio, I now have them at the level of the Colts. And I thought to myself, now Saturday obviously is a Colt. And, you know, we've seen Tony Dungy and we've seen, you know, these former Colts and former Patriots and former Cowboys, you know, get on there and talk about their teams. But I think the idea that the Colts are at the same level as the Titans is absolute nonsense. And yet the more I hear it, the more I hear a lot of people that say, ah, you know, I think Indy's a more complete team, or I think Indy's this, Indy. Am I nuts for looking at the Colts and kind of thinking that they are a legitimate step behind the Titans?
Well, I mean, they've been the favorite to win the division every year since, like, 2014 and haven't won it. So I think it's fair to that. I think it's absolutely fair to question right now with these is the assumption that Carson Wentz is going to be okay. Anybody who watched the Eagles last year saw what we saw. He was 100% awful. He was 100% terrible. You can blame the city. You can blame the team. It was his performance, and his performance was bad each and every week. Now, maybe Frank Reich is the guy to fix him, but again, he's going to have to prove to me that he's fixed before I go out on a limb and say, yep, the Colts are the team to beat because of him, because right now I'm wondering if he's going to be the quarterback in week 6.
Mm-hmm. Corey Curtis, News 2, Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, what's your hot take this week?
You know, my hot take is this. It's nice to be contemplating if the Titans are a Super Bowl team or not. It has been a long time since we've had to have these arguments and these legitimate, you know, expectations about a football team. And it's also, you know, not that Floyd wouldn't go for it, but Floyd had a different philosophy about building it. I do like this new wave of GMs that's not afraid to go for it and to make the trades and to make the deals. I understand the value of draft picks. I do. I love draft picks. But I also understand the value of adding star players. And, you know, Julio's 32. That's a little different than trading for a Jalen Ramsey in the entering the prime of his career. But you also didn't have to give up a one to get him. And so I think it's a new, exciting era in the NFL. And the NFL has been building up its off season for years. And now with these guys not afraid to trade, it makes the NFL 12-month calendar even better.
Mm-hmm. Corey Curtis, News 2. As always, Corey, appreciate you. And let me say this. I have not talked to Floyd about the Julio Jones trade. I just know that this is what I think would have happened. Back me up on this. I think he would have told everybody who called in for a month asking about Julio Jones that they were crazy and that he would have never done it and that you don't do things like that in the NFL and that's not how you build your team. And then when they made the trade, he would have said, I think that was a great trade by J-Rob.
Well, he always has J-Rob's back, without question. But Floyd was never one to give up a ton of assets. Now, they did trade a one for Kevin Carter.
Yep.
You remember? After the Super Bowl. And Kevin Carter was a really good player for this team, so I don't think that you could question that.
No.
What was that?
I said I almost said Floyd Reese. I meant to say Corey Curtis. No offense, Corey. I don't trust your football as much as I do Floyd. Then again, he made a bunch of mistakes, too, so who knows. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
I hope you trust Floyd's football sense more than mine.
There is something to that. Let me just say this, and this, I may have a little bias. Appreciate you, Corey. I may have a little bias. I think I trust Floyd's football sense more than, honestly, I trust anybody's, including John Robinson. Not anybody's. Anybody in Nashville's, including John Robinson. No disrespect to John. I mean, you know, John's not the all-time winningest general manager in team history.
Floyd earned that title.
I mean, Floyd was... Floyd, I say this. You know, there are things that Floyd never. I mean, he drafted Derek Mason. Derek Mason was a great player. Floyd never pulled A.J. Brown in the second round and that guy come in and walk in day one and be a stud. So there are some things that they've done differently. But, man, this is a guy who traded down in a draft, got Eddie George, and with the other pick he acquired, he drafted an all-pro tackle. I mean, that guy... That guy could pick. Coming up next here on Selman and Company, we're live at the at Third and Home. Big Sounds game tonight. By the way, the Sounds have been killing it. But big Sounds game tonight. I'm going to the Sounds game tonight. I'm just excited about that. But coming up next, an interesting tactic that NFL teams are using for what I consider to be the greater good and the greater good to them. We'll get to that coming up next. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. Purchase a $30 Boomboss Craft Pizza and Tap House gift card for only $15. Try their award-winning pizza, 20-plus local beers, 20-plus local beers, and drafts at all locations. It's the place to go to bring the family or come for pizza, beer, and sports. Four Middle Tennessee locations, Bellevue, Murfreesboro, Spring Hill, and East Nashville, which has a huge video wall. Other deals we've got now, buy one, get one free for Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, and $20 Grain and Berry gift card for only $10. Get yours now at thegamenashville.com. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Caroline Fenton is here with us at Third and Home. And Caroline, tell all the people why you love the fact that we're at Third and Home here today on a Fireball Hot Take Friday.
Well, there are a lot of reasons why I'm happy to be here at Third and Home. First of all, the views. Impeccable. Great views. You can sit outside on the porch, watch the games, just have a great view of First Horizon Park. Food's really great here. It's close to where I live. A lot of great reasons.
Give me one more.
I don't know. Good drinks?
So one thing I love about this show, and I love this place, and I'm with you. Those are all great things.
Great things.
One thing that I love about this show is that I'm not really beholden to a lot of people. You know, you can hear when you're in the industry, you can hear people that basically have to kiss somebody's butt on the air. Now, there are certain things I can't do, and not that I'm saying that I would love to do them, but there are certain things that, you know, there's certain places you can't go sometimes, and then there's also the part of you that, you know, you can't use the megaphone to society to say a bunch of crazy stuff. And some people just do it anyways.
Yeah, you can, but it doesn't mean that you should.
But I can, like, listen to people, and I know how they got their jobs, and I know whose butt they have to kiss. And I don't know, like, about this show. Like, we're the flagship station of the Predators, And I think everybody knows that when I'm not happy with what I see out there, whether it be from the coach or the GM or the team or the, I'm allowed to say it, and I say it, and that's it. And I love that. The fact that, you know, kind of able to, it allows me and this show to be able to discuss what I consider to be important issues, even if they're a little uncomfortable. So I read an article in The Athletic, the headline, "Slow Pace for NFL Player Vaccination Causes NFLPA Coaches and Agents to Push for Action." Now, I think talking about vaccines makes people uncomfortable. It's easy when you're on a news network and you know the ideology of most of your conglomerate either is pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine. It wouldn't make a lot of sense, for example, for Sean Hannity of Fox News, who at one point said, if this passes the clinical trial, I'd get that put in my arm, that now probably won't go on there saying, everybody get your vaccines. Just wouldn't make a ton of sense. For me, I've got my vaccines. I believe in the vaccine. I've talked to doctors who aren't hesitant about the issues that some people bring up with the vaccines. But I'm also not ignorant to the fact that a lot of people are questioning something that'll be stuck into their arm and go into their body and maybe affect for the rest of their lives. I mean, if you're making it out like this vaccine is such a big deal and you developed it in a matter of months, actually, technically, they developed it in a matter of weeks. It was the clinical trials that took so long. I understand why people would have questions. And I'm not this guy who got vaccinated, who believes in the vaccine, who's telling you that if you don't believe in the vaccine, that you're crazy or you're dumb or you're whatever. I'm not saying that. I understand why people would be nervous. I understand why people would be cautious. But I do think it's interesting. The NFL is one of these businesses where we're going to see a lot of businesses that are going to either require you to get the vaccine or they're going to make it downright impossible for you if you don't. If you're a coach in the NFL right now, you are an active coach, and you don't get the vaccine, you can't be around the players. Like, that's essentially it. You cannot be around the players. So you can't fly on the plane. You can't, I don't think you can be on the practice field, even if you're wearing a mask. You can't do any of that. You can sit in your office, and you can virtually meet with the team. I think it's kind of hard to be an NFL coach if you can't be around the players, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the players, it's collectively bargained. So the Athletic writes, the NFL won't require players to get the vaccine, while the NFL Players Association continues to say it will encourage it. Soon, though, players will be split into two groups, those who are vaccinated and those who aren't. And the NFLPA doesn't want to hear those in the latter group say their decision is due to a lack of information. So there's Demora Smith, the head of the Players Association, is quoted in this. The chief medical doctor for the Players Association is quoted in this. But the league is going to make it harder on players as far as quarantining, as far as mask wearing requirements, as far as distancing, everything, if you don't get the vaccine. So if you're an NFL player and you don't get the vaccine, you have to live your life like last year. If you're an NFL player and you do get the vaccine, you're allowed to live your life as normal. And the Athletic says that teams are now really trying to get their players vaccinated, because if it's a two-shot deal, you have to get it like today in order to be able to be fully vaccinated for the start of the season. Now, if it's the one-shot deal, I think you got like 2 weeks before the start of training camp when you would not be considered to be fully vaccinated. One senior team executive told The Athletic, quote, his coach is using that data to make an argument about a competitive advantage. He tells his team that if a division rival has more vaccinated players, for example, that opponent would have fewer players that would be subject to quarantines and missed games in case of exposure. Another team had more players allowed to gather in person for film sessions and meetings than they would be at an advantage over a team that had to meet virtually. Right now, The Athletic says that these are individual incentives with team-wide benefits. The expectation is that the NFL and the NFLPA will eventually agree on team-wide benefits for clubs that reach a certain threshold of a total number of employees, including players who are fully vaccinated. NFL teams are operating under the similar benchmark as Major League Baseball, which is 85%. So you would need 77 of a 90-man roster to reach an 85% threshold. Apparently, agents are part of the process, too, trying to convince their players to get vaccinated. I don't know what effect this will have as far as the NFL is concerned. But can I just say this? I hope the Titans are the number one team in the NFL as far as vaccinations are concerned. And I know that's a controversial take because some people hate the vaccine. And I get it. I don't hate the vaccine. I got it. And when I got it, we had Sean Henry on the show and he and I were talking about it. And I think Sean said it best when he said he felt less guilty about doing certain things once he had been vaccinated. I agree. But I want the Titans to be the number one vaccinated team in the league because I think they're onto something, that there is a competitive advantage if the Titans are more vaccinated than, say, the Colts. Sam Darnold in Carolina says he's not vaccinated, and I don't want to misquote him here, but I'm not sure he intends to get vaccinated. Well, if Sam Darnold then gets exposed to somebody who has COVID, or Sam Darnold himself gets COVID, he misses a game. He can't play. The Panthers don't have a starting quarterback. If Ryan Tannehill is vaccinated, and when he gets tested weekly but shows no symptoms and tests positive, I believe Ryan Tannehill will be allowed to play. That is an advantage. I hope the Colts don't get vaccinated. I hope that, well, I shouldn't say that. I hope everybody gets vaccinated. Let me say that. But I just, from a competitive standpoint, I think that coach is onto something. That is, if your team is completely vaccinated, and that means your entire team can live life normally as far as meeting together, as far as player-to-coach interaction, as far as player-to-player interaction, as far as how they take care of themselves in the dressing room, kind of, like, yes, that's good. So I think that this is worth noting. And I know Titan players listen to this show. And if I could just say anything to anybody listening, get vaccinated so that you can beat the Colts.
And I totally understand if people don't want to get vaccinated or don't believe in it. Whatever your personal belief is, that's totally fine. That is 100% you're right. However, when it comes to things like that that are very clear cut, you know, you get vaccinated, you can play with no interruptions. You don't, there could be interruptions. If this team is your number one priority, then get vaccinated. Put any apprehensions or any fears that you have behind you and do what is best to put your team in the best possible position to win. And I think, and I'm with you, I do hope that the Titans all get vaccinated because that gives the Titans the best opportunity to win when everyone is healthy and when everyone can play.
Yep.
And I get it. It's your right. You can get it if you want. You don't have to if you don't. It is your right as an American citizen. You can do whatever you want. But when there are bigger things at stake, put
like
your pride behind you. Like the Super Bowl.
Like the Super Bowl.
Everyone joins the NFL with one goal in mind. It's to win a Super Bowl.
I'll say this.
Aren't you going to do whatever it takes to win a Super Bowl?
I'll say this. And I don't know the exact numbers of it, but I feel pretty certain saying this. The possibility of you getting the vaccine and dying is a whole lot less than you taking a hit over the middle and dying.
Oh, jeez. Morbid.
And we don't see that very often in football because the game is safer. But again, like, I think that this is going to be, you know, more so than just the NFL. I think this is going to be a lot of businesses that are going to require you to get vaccinated. And there are going to be people that don't like it. But I think that the private route of your employer making you do it, or else you can't work here, or else you can't work here effectively like the NFL will essentially force players and coaches to do, will maybe help raise that level a little bit. Now, some guys aren't going to do it. And I don't know how the players on the Titans feel. But I would just say that I do think there's something to the idea of, you know, do you trust the team doctor when he tells you that you're ready to go back out on the field after you suffered a torn labrum? Do you trust the team doctor when he's telling you that you aren't good enough to play because you're in the concussion protocol? Well, the team doctor is trying to tell you that he thinks this is safe. If you trust the team doctor, then you trust the team doctor. You know, the coaches, if they're trying to get you vaccinated and they believe in it, do you trust the coach? And not every play that a coach calls is going to be right, but if you trust the coach, maybe you will understand this. And as much as COVID vaccination talk, I mean, it even makes me a little uncomfortable, but as much as COVID vaccination talk is almost like something that most people would say is like a no-no and don't do it, even though then you hear, you know, you see on TV all these ads for vaccine talk and everything else, you know, hey, get your vaccine. Where are you getting your vaccine? I don't know how it's a political issue. One, both presidents have gotten it. One of them takes credit for it. The other one is telling everybody to get it. So I don't see how it's a political thing, but apparently it is. It's not my, I don't think it's my business. I would never ask a player like on the record in a press conference, so Ryan Tannehill, have you gotten vaccinated? Like, I would never do that. But I do think, and I know this is going to sound crazy, I do think it is in bounds to discuss about your team and that there is a competitive advantage if your team is significantly more vaccinated than another team.
I agree. And it, let's say, like, for example, you know, with the Sam Darnold talk, that does put the Titans in a much better position. But I do worry, too, in the opposite side, what if the Titans do run into a situation where they are in COVID protocol and there is a player who has COVID, is exposed to COVID, whatever it may be? I just feel like we have come so far with this situation, and I would hate to see the Titans ruin their chances to win the division in the playoffs, whatever
player,
it may be, if a player does get COVID.
So we live in a world of crazy people, right?
Yes.
Imagine how a player would feel if they got COVID and had to miss a big game and the team lost. And I don't want to use any player as an example because I don't know how they feel. But let's say they got COVID and the team lost a big game. Kind of like when the Titans went to Indianapolis last year and Indy was without DeNico Autry and without DeForest Buckner and Derrick Henry had 200 yards at halftime. Like, how would you feel? That game cost the Colts the division. Now, there were no vaccines then. There was no, you know, again, if you got COVID, you got COVID. I was pretty COVID safe, and I got COVID. So I'm certainly not begrudging anybody then who did. But how would you feel if a star player on your team had to miss a game because they got the virus, which they could have been vaccinated against? How would you feel? We talked last year about communication issues as far as the Titans' defense is concerned. How would you feel if the Titans' defense still can't communicate because they have to have virtual team meetings as opposed to the Indianapolis Colts who get to sit back and get to have, you know, team meetings together? And I think that's kind of a fair question to ask. And again, I'm not telling people what to do. I'm not telling everybody out there that you absolutely, positively have to get the vaccine. And if you don't get the vaccine, you're a bad person. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I believe in it. I got it. I'm willing to, you know, whatever risk there is. And I've talked to enough doctors. My best friend is a doctor. And, I mean, honestly, I never really, like, had questions. Like, I was never one that when they said, hey, wait your turn to get vaccinated, I was just always like, all right, baby, when my turn's up, I'm going. And then when my turn was up, you bet I got that shot, and I felt great about getting that shot. I know most people don't feel that way, but my best friend's a doctor, and he deals with this on a daily basis of telling people why the vaccine is safe. And again, I'm not pushing something on you. I'm not telling you, the listener, I'm not telling you that you have to do something that you don't want to do. But I would say that for your team, I do think that, you know, like one of these agents in this Athletic article said one agent. So here's one agent said he's making a competitive argument to his players. Your career is short enough, he said. Why would they risk missing games because they either caught COVID or been exposed to it?
When there's a way around it.
I think that's a pretty fair point. Another agent is far more blunt, saying he flat out tells his clients they are bleeping idiots if they choose to go into the season unvaccinated. I think the first approach is probably better than the second approach. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to get anywhere by telling people that they're stupid if they don't get the vaccine.
And, you know, somebody who doesn't want to get the vaccine, they'll say, okay, fine, call me an idiot, call me stupid, that's whatever. But, you know, you always hear, and I'm not pushing any sort of agenda at all, do what you want to do, whatever makes you feel safe and comfortable.
But we vote that you get the vaccine.
Yeah, yes, of course. However, we always hear whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to
whatever
win.
The team tells me to
whatever
do.
Whatever the team tells me to do. I will be the first person in the practice facility, and I'll be the last person to leave. Whatever it takes to win. If getting the COVID vaccine is what it takes to win, do it.
I hope the Titans are the number one team in the league at COVID vaccinations because it gives them an advantage on everybody else. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about the FanDuel Sportsbook app. That is my number one sportsbook app, and I absolutely love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It is Fight Night, featuring the can't-miss rematch between Israel Adesanya and Marvin Vettori at UFC 263. And that, of course, is going down tomorrow night. FanDuel is giving you 30-1 odds on either fighter to win the main event. This means you can win $150 off of a $5 bet. Place your first bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook app using the promo code JGM to get in on the incredible action. Then sit back and watch the fist fly as Adesanya takes on Vettori on Saturday, June 12th, which is tomorrow. That's why I love FanDuel. Don't forget, you can get in on this offer only on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, so download it today. Sign up using the promo code JGM so they know that we sent you. That's promo code JGM. 21 and older and present in Tennessee, new users only, must wager in a designated offer market, $10 first deposit required, $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.